Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
The biggest difference was for you and your group, you know, week two compared to week one.
Yeah, I think just a little fire under us. I think kind of week one, you're kind of anticipating what's this like, kind of new team, new guys. And week two, you want to get back at it and, know we didn't put our best football out there week one. So just kind of mindset of kind of what we can do and just trying to bring it, every week and, still things to learn from on the tape and areas to improve and, yeah, just think just a little fire under us, and hopefully we can bring that this Sunday.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Happy Friday.
Are you ready for a Patriots Friday, Keith?
Yes, I am ready for a Patriots Friday. Just Patriots today. Nothing else. Not going to talk about anything else. Just the Patriots. Nothing else to see here. Everything's fine.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, cue the guy drinking the coffee in the firehouse meme. That's where we're at there.
Red Sox feel like they're really going to blow it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just yesterday, I'm like, why couldn't they be the Braves and win without Ronald Acuña? Now I'm like,
there might be the 1989 Braves. They're not going to be any of the good Braves teams.
No. We'll get to.
But the Patriots, meanwhile, their season's just getting started. They're just getting started.
Get ready for some bats.
They can win back-to-back games.
Some Red Sox. They could.
They could win back-to-back games for the first time in a dog's age.
They certainly could.
So we're rooting for that.
It would help if the Red Sox could win any games. Never mind back-to-back.
Oh, I'll take any of them.
But we'll get to that coming up here on a Patriots Friday. It is also a top five Friday.
Woo!
Coming your way at 10:45. We're going to do comedy sequels,
Keith. That's right. With Spinal Tap 2 in theaters right now. Just me and Davey saw it. Nobody else, according to the box office. But that is a comedy sequel and a pretty good one.
Not eligible for my list. I've not seen it.
No,
but it could be on yours.
It could be. I have seen it, and we will give you the top five. There are some good ones. There's not. It's a tough thing to hit just right, but there are enough good ones.
You said this to me many years ago.
Yes.
You're like, a comedy sequel is
really tough to do.
A strong comedy sequel is real difficult, but I think there's enough.
Yeah, no, I like my top five list a lot.
I feel good about my top five.
So that'll be good.
So we'll do that coming up 10:45. We got the Friday four-pack for you. At 11:30 as well, a four-pack of questions pertaining to Pats and Steelers this weekend. We also have the Week in Review at 12:45. And
down the hall.
Keefe's Keys to the Pats and Steelers at 1 o'clock. Mike and Wenu also going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. So stay tuned for it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Friday. Let's start Patriots, Keefe.
Yep.
I feel better and better about this matchup as the week goes along, to be honest. I like that they're underdogs. I like that people still kind of believe in Aaron Rodgers. I like that Vrabel, when asked the question about winning back-to-back games, is like, look, I'm not a part of any of that. I kind of like the whole way he's approaching it. And the further we go along this week, the better I feel about this matchup. I think they're going to win again.
Yeah, and maybe it's because they did look offensively so good against Miami last week. So we're still thinking just a few days ago, Drake May having nearly like a perfect game. I mean, he had very few incomplete passes. He had two touchdown passes, a touchdown run. It just felt like he was more comfortable in the offense. The offensive line was really good. And even though the game was close and it was against a very bad team in the Miami Dolphins, I don't know, there's a ton of confidence to have coming out of that game. And then you combine that with Pittsburgh getting off to the start that they've gotten off to, meaning they've given up a ton of points and a ton of yards to Justin Fields and to Sam Darnold, who I'd take Drake May over both of those guys right now.
The Pittsburgh defense has been,
and we've
tried to hammer this home all week. I don't know that Patriots fans fully realize it. And the Pats defense hasn't been great either.
No. Yeah, nobody's throwing them a parade.
But the Pittsburgh defense has been atrocious through 2 weeks.
It's just under 400 yards of offense in each of the first two games, and then over 30 points both times. So as much as you know, a lot of week one, the talk was, oh, Aaron Rodgers against the Jets, and he kind of stuck it to the Jets. He threw four touchdowns. They won by a field goal. Like, they barely won that game because the Jets offense, which nobody loves, was able to put up over 30 points. And then this past week, Seattle took it to them. And teams are doing it. They're throwing on them. They're running on them very effectively. And that's another reason why I have confidence, because if the Patriots run early and have success doing that, it's going to make the day a lot easier for Drake May. You can look at the last 2 weeks as an example. Raiders stopped the run, kind of stopped the whole thing. The Dolphins never really stopped the run, and it allowed Drake May to do and the Patriots offense to do pretty much whatever they wanted, which I think is what's going to happen this Sunday.
I think it's Travion Henderson game, and that is not to say Drake May won't have a big game, or Ramondre Stevenson won't do anything, or Diggs couldn't get involved. I look at the running backs who have had success against the Steelers. It was Ken Walker last week. It was Breece Hall week one. Travion Henderson, athletically, in terms of his burst and explosion, I think he's the kind of back who matches up with those two. So I think it's Travion Henderson week. I think they're going to be able to do whatever they want on offense. They should be getting Christian Gonzalez back, I think. Do you not think that?
I don't think so.
You're making a face.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Don't
I mean,
think so.
I think it would be great, but he was out for 7 weeks with a hamstring injury. And I was.
That's exactly why he should be back.
Yeah. But I think he's going to need the second week of practice to sort of ramp it up. That's my guess. I could be wrong, and I'd be happy to see him out there.
Giardi yesterday said Christian Gonzalez took a rep in a shadow tackle drill.
Hell yeah.
And then was part of
that
a
what half, they call it now?
A half field chase down drill with guys you would consider the starters. So Giardi
shadow
said yesterday.
Shadow tackle drill.
I don't know all the
Tuesday
details.
Night?
But he had.
No, hopefully he does.
He was lining up with the starters is the real point there. And so, I don't know. I think that's encouraging that he's going to be out there.
I hope so. Yeah, and really the Steelers just have DK Metcalf as far as like who they would throw to. You know, last week you needed him a little bit more with those two receivers. And even Geno Smith threw it way more than I thought he was going to with the Raiders. So, yeah, you'd absolutely take him. I'd be thrilled to have him. I'd feel even more confident. I think they can win and will win. Even if he doesn't play?
Me too.
So if you add him to the equation, then great. It's funny. Looking at Seattle last week.
We were both picking him on Monday. We're like, they're going to win. And that was way before I thought Gonzalez was going to practice, never mind play. So, I'd pick them either way, but I'd feel better about it, obviously.
Sam Darnold had almost 300 yards passing. Kenneth Walker had over 100 yards rushing. Jackson Smith and Jigba had over 100 yards receiving. And Cooper Kupp, the corpse of Cooper Kupp, had 90 yards receiving. Mm. So, like, they were able to do pretty much whatever they wanted offensively. And so, I think the Patriots will be in good shape. And, we'll see. I mean, Gonzalez, my guess is, will be listed as questionable going into the game. And then we'll find out at 11:30 on Sunday if he's active or not. Fingers crossed that he's out there, but I don't know. I have my doubts.
All right. This week's Verizon matchup features the Patriots offense against that Steelers defense. We both expect a big day out of the Pats. That is your Verizon matchup, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Let me ask you this, Keith. When Jeremy Piven came in studio on Wednesday, Bragg.
Yeah.
I believe we were right in the midst of answering this question, so just let me double check your
answer.
We're
right in the throes of it.
Mike Vrabel or Mike Tomlin?
I'm going Mike Vrabel. I don't think anybody could make the case for either guy and be like, it's for sure him and the other guy. No way. Like, it's like a big gap between the two. It's not. Mike Tomlin has obviously been one of the most steady coaches in the NFL, has that crazy streak of not having a losing record, although also hasn't won a playoff game in going on 10 years, and kind of gets there and then loses. And is always kind of in it, but I don't think they've been a Super Bowl contender since they won it. Like, that was a long time ago. Mike Vrabel, the last couple of years in Tennessee obviously weren't very good, but when he had A.J. Brown with Derrick Henry and even Tannehill, I mean, they made a conference championship game. I like Vrabel a little bit more. It's hard to go crazy and be like, oh, he's way better, but I'll take Vrabel.
And, if you could do this in a vacuum or Mike Tomlin were here and Vrabel flipped, I might feel differently. So I'm not down on Tomlin as a coach.
Yeah.
I just think it's stale.
Yep,
I think what's gone on there is he's barely holding on.
Yeah.
They're living by this, he always has a winning season, and most of the time he makes the playoffs, or he never has a losing season, and most of the time makes the playoffs. And he's such a floor coach these days, and I think Rodgers is going to drag it down. I'm not a big believer in Mike Tomlin today. If he gets another job and he starts over somewhere else, I may change my answer. So maybe that's too wishy-washy. But this weekend, I like Vrabel better. Vrabel is energized and in a new spot, and I don't think he's a great head coach. I think he's a good head coach. But I feel similar to Tomlin, so I'd take Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Same question with the quarterbacks, May or Rodgers.
So this one I actually do think is close, and I think, and I'm really hopeful that the answer is different in, say, 5 weeks. But right now, I'm still going to take Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is not what he was. Last year, he only won 5 games with the Jets. But I think a big part of like the anti-Rodgers push would be he basically went into New York and played GM. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people are annoyed with all of his different interviews and stuff that he does. But like on the field, Drake Mays had a great game last week. Like a great game. How many great games has he had in his career?
Oh.
And right now?
Maybe just the one.
Yeah. Like, I think we probably tiered the two in a similar group where so they're like.
I was actually just trying to look. I was trying to find our QB tiers.
Or do we have Rodgers lower?
I'm looking it up. I would almost guarantee we had Rodgers lower, but I'm trying to find our QB tiers. I'm searching for them.
But
right
it feels like all these guys so far are kind of similar where like Geno Smith or Tua or Rodgers or May for this season, especially the first month of the season, they're all capable of a really good game and a really bad game. So even though I don't want Rodgers by any stretch, I think for just Sunday, I think Rodgers is still a better quarterback.
Yeah, and I think if you want to say it that way, like for 1 week.
Yeah.
That's
I hope it's a different answer soon. Like that kind of thing. And you know, if you get into for the next 2 years, it's not even a debate. And even by the end of this year, hopefully it changes. You know, if Drake May has a few more games like he did this past Sunday, then it will change the answer. But right now, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, everyone clowned on him. He still had, like, what, 28 touchdown passes last year?
Yep.
Like, he wasn't a complete bust. It was more of the expectations and you know, you kind of roll your eyes at him. But
yeah, I would take Drake May in that matchup. But the way you said it would be the closest to get me to answer Aaron Rodgers. Like, just for a game, who am I taking? For the year, who am I taking? May. Obviously, long term, we'd all
but
take
Sunday,
Drake May.
You'd say Rodgers is the better quarterback in the game?
No. I would still lean May, but I'm saying if you ask me that question, that's the one I got to think about the most. I'd say Drake May. May looked terrible week one. Mm-hmm. He looked great last week. Rodgers looked pretty good week one. He threw 4 touchdowns. Right. I think that does mask some of the other stuff he did in that game, which wasn't as good. And then last week, not so hot. Now, you're right. His numbers last year were, at the end of the day, pretty good. I don't feel like he's anywhere near as surgical as he used to be, anywhere near the same player. He's bouncing around team to team.
Right.
I would lean May, but
yeah, that's fine.
But on just Sunday, that is close.
And I think if Drake May is allowed to run a little bit, that's something that Rodgers doesn't do anymore. And I mean, he might pick up the occasional few yards here and there, but like that is another advantage that Drake May could have. I think both the head coach and the quarterback matchups are pretty close. Like, I think, you know, you could make a good case for either guy, especially when you're talking about just this Sunday. And it's also the first time, like, they're in a similar situation where both are going to be going into their third game as a duo, right? Like, nobody has the experience advantage over the other. Like, Tomlin's worked with Rodgers for so long, or Vrabel knows Drake May. No, it's both very early in the relationships. And it's a pretty big game for both teams in that sense, too, because they both look at the other one as, this is a winnable game. Like, this is a very winnable game.
Oh no, for
somebody's
the Steelers,
gonna be 2-1.
This is their kind of like let's get above 500.
Right.
Let's get some momentum going.
But
and
think about the
talk, Patriots look at it the same.
The talk on Monday in either place would be, all right, you're 1-2 and you lost to the Steelers, or you're 1-2 and you lost to the Patriots.
True.
Like, it's a big kind of swing game early in the year.
So you guys can discuss Pats or Steelers. How do you see it shaking out? Who do you like in the coaching matchup? Who do you like in the quarterback matchup? We continue to pick our way through it here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe. A reminder, football talk on WEEI presented by Paramount Plus. Sly Stallone, he's back in the original hit series, Tulsa King. This Sunday, Dwight is going to face his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. You can stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, a.k.a. this Sunday, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Let's get to your feedback coming up. We have a Friday four-pack at 11:30. We have a week in review at 12:45. We have Keith's Keys to Pats and Steelers at 1 o'clock. Plus, Mike and Wenu going to join us on a Patriots Friday in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll also get you our top 5 comedy sequels at 10:45, so stay tuned for that. Plus, our expectations for Drake May on Sunday. We already gave you who we'd take in that matchup. What do we actually expect out of Drake? We'll do that right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. Red Sox dropped the series finale 5-3 to the Athletics at Fenway Park yesterday. Brian Bayo got the loss after giving up 3 earned runs on 5 hits and 4 innings of action. Sox are currently a game and a half behind the Seattle Mariners for the final wildcard spot and a game and a half ahead of the Cleveland Guardians. Tonight, the Red Sox begin their final road trip of the season with game one of a 3-game series with the Rays in Tampa Bay. First pitch is at 7:35. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Garrett Crochet gets a start in the series opener against the Rays' Drew Rasmussen. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arkand at 6:35. Last night on Thursday Night Football, the Buffalo Bills improved to 3-0 with a 31-21 win over the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are now 0-3. Patriots had perfect attendance at practice yesterday. The Pats are back on the practice field today at 11:30 ahead of Sunday's matchup against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers-Patriots kicks off from Gillette Stadium at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Tomorrow afternoon, Bill Parcells and Julian Edelman will be inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. The ceremony begins at 4 o'clock. It's open to the public and can be streamed on Patriots.com and the team's social media platforms. And the New England Revolution are in action tomorrow afternoon. The Revs will be in Philadelphia taking on the Union. Kickoff is at 2:30. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2424. I'm Billy Lanning. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Enjoyable. He's as easy to talk to as you know anybody we have. He sees the game very, very well. The conversations you have are accurate. If you ask him a question, you're going to get the right answer. It's not maybe the best answer that we could have done, but he knows exactly what took place on the field, and he's always honest, very informative, wants to do it the right way, takes coaching extremely well.
The love fest continues there.
How about that? Smooch, smooch.
What did he say?
Yeah, he had like a weird answer there. He's
he's got an answer.
Almost,
not always
the right answer.
Yeah, well,
not like the best answer.
Like, wait, what?
I didn't really get that part, but overall, it's very much a... He's the perfect player, and I love him.
Yeah, well.
I love him so much.
After last week, yeah. I mean, McDaniels, and I gave Josh McDaniels blame after week one. I'd give him credit after week two. He put Drake May in more favorable positions and let Drake May do what I think are strengths for Drake May, and I didn't think they did that week one. And so, all right, week one was a mistake, but coaching is about adjustments and working with what you have and getting the most out of what you have. And I think McDaniels did a better job of that. So let's continue to follow it. But they seem like they are all of a sudden, and I was nervous about this last week, seems like all of a sudden they're on the right track. But that can change in a weekend. It just did a week ago.
Yeah, it definitely can. But it is good to see that at least McDaniels isn't stubborn about it and be like, well, the game plan was right week one. It just didn't work because of, you know, the players or whatever, and then just stick with it. Like, no, he was able to change it. It looked different, and the results were a lot different. Now, we'll see. Does you know, because when the Patriots were rolling, right, the thing that you'd always hear about is, oh, they're a game plan specific team. So, like, depending on what the other team did well. Remember, there were games famously against Minnesota when they had, like, the best run defense in the world. Yeah, so they didn't run it.
The Williams twins?
The Williams wall.
Pat and Kevin?
Yeah, the Williams wall. Yeah. And they were like, they just didn't. I don't think they ran the ball once in the game. It was something insane. And there was a lot of short passes.
It all over the field. Yeah.
But they threw it all over the place. So anyway, you know, how Josh diagnoses the Dolphins defense versus how he diagnoses the Steelers defense, you know, how similar is the game plan going to look on Sunday? But I mean, to oversimplify it, as long as they're able to get good yards on the ground and early, you know, if Ramondre has a good game, or Henderson, you pointed out, or the two of them together, then I think they're going to be able to do pretty much whatever they want. My question would be, if Pittsburgh's able to stop the run, which they haven't yet this season.
No.
But if they are, what does the adjustment look like? What does McDaniels then, you know, put on Drake May for the rest of the game?
It's fair. So I think they're going to be able to run, and I think that opens things up to get more out of Drake May. We can get into our expectations for May here coming up on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keefe. It's also a top five Friday. We'll give you our top five comedy sequels coming your way less than 15 minutes from now. We got the Friday four pack, 11:30. We got Keefe's Keys, the Bats and Steelers at 1 o'clock.
They're down the hall.
We can review at 12:45 as well. It's been a guest heavy week by our standards.
Really has been. Star studded.
Well, that's really more what I meant to say. Okay. Not even guest heavy.
That's like negative connotation. No, it's been star studded.
Star studded is what I meant to say. So you'll get some of that in the week in review coming up. I do like this text at 617-779-7937. You guys called last Sunday great. The bar keeps getting lowered. I think I'd have to re-listen to exactly what we said. I believe what we said was May was great.
I said May was great.
Yeah, I don't think we said the Patriots were great. So if you think
I would say May was great. I would even say the offense is great. No, by no means did I say the defense is great. There's missed tackles all over the place. You know, Tyreek Hill had over 100 yards receiving. Tua threw for over 300. They couldn't tackle Achan. Like, no, I didn't say the team was great. But if you don't think that Drake May was great, then I don't know what you're. If you're only comparing him to Tom Brady, then that's going to be a long rest of your fandom. Like, the rest of the time you watch the team, if every single quarterback play is like, well, Brady would have been better. Like, yeah,
well,
probably.
I would say the numbers don't totally do May justice either for that game last week. Like, if you look it up and you just didn't watch the game and you go 230 and two touchdowns, I would understand going, well, guys, that's not a great game.
Right.
And by no means are those great numbers. I think the way he played was great. He was in control. He was comfortable. He was accurate. He only had four incompletions. He started the game on time with two great drives.
No turnovers.
So, like, if you think great is too strong of an adjective even for May, it's definitely too strong for the team's performance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you think that's too strong, fine. But it was easily the best game he's played, and I think arguably made the best play of his career. It's a toss-up with the Tennessee game. This one was in structure. The Tennessee game was out of structure, and I would lean this. Maybe it's a recency bias, but one is just a backyard play where you pull it out of your ass. This one was in structure, and it's repeatable, and I thought that was a great, great play to Ramondre up the right sideline. What are your expectations for May this weekend? Similar to last week where he's in control. They don't. I mean, 23 pass attempts is not a lot.
No, it's not.
In today's day and age.
No,
do you
it's
expect
not.
A similar sort of game script?
Yeah, and I think it could be even a little bit more than that. I think you could see the receivers playing a bigger role this week than they did last week because they were pretty quiet. I know they had the touchdowns, so that stands out. But what did it end up being? Around seven catches for all of the receivers together?
Okay, Diggs had 4-on-5 targets.
Yep.
Booty had 1-on-1. Hollins had 1-on-2. Remember the second down pass at the end of the game was also to Hollins.
Yep, that was a big
Pop
one.
Douglas 1-for-1. So high percentage of efficiency when they target them. But yes, on seven targets, not a lot of production.
So I think that'll change a little bit. I think those guys will go up a little bit. I could see the passing yards, you know, not going up to like 300, but I could see it going up over 250 somewhere in there. And yeah, if he accounts for three touchdowns again, like last week, something along those lines. Even if it's two and the running backs get a couple, that should be enough. You know, the defense is going to have to play better than they did a week ago. But, yeah, I think now that Drake May has established himself insofar as, like, last week we saw what he can do, and that you want to be able to duplicate that, like, as the season goes on. Like, you're going to have ups and downs. He's going to turn the ball over again at some point. But we saw that. That is kind of, like, the perfect game plan, I think, for what they have personnel-wise on offense and what they need to do. So, yeah, if he duplicates that, maybe a few more passing yards, you know, something along those lines, then, yeah, I'll take that.
Fields week one, 16 out of 22, so efficient. And Fields last week was 3 for 11 and then got knocked out of the game by the Buffalo defense.
Struggled, yeah.
So we're not talking about a high-end quarterback.
No.
He was 16 out of 22, 218. He threw for a touchdown. He also ran for two more, 12 carries, 48 yards. You think May does that? I don't know if he gets a 12 carries. Could he get you 48 yards? Maybe.
He could get 48 yards.
If he pulled off a long one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was Fields week one against this defense. Week two was Darnold, who we're both very pro Sam Darnold this week. Yep. 22 out of 33, 295, two touchdowns. He did have two picks in the game. Also took a couple of sacks. So
yeah,
Darnold aired it out a little bit more. He's got good weapons in the passing game. But I could see something in the middle of those two, and I think that's a reasonable expectation for Drake May this weekend against what has been a pretty bad Steelers defense. 617-779-7937. Brandon is in Boston. Get us started today, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. I don't know if anybody hit on this, but, you know, Mike Tomlin lives rent-free in Mike V's head because as a head coach, Mike V is 0-3 against Tomlin and the Steelers. So I think this is a bad game for him because I think he's going to over-strategize and shoot himself in the foot. Also, they're coming in this game with 21 penalties. They're not disciplined. And Aaron Rodgers is really immaculate with his hard count. So expect to see a 27-13 type of game or 30-17.
Okay, I think it's going to be higher than that. We both said we take the over on
I
the
like
score
the over
yesterday.
A lot. Yeah. That's one of the better bets, I think, of the weekend. 44.5.
So
I think both teams are going to score points.
I saw this yesterday, headline on Pro Football Talk. You tell me which number is more important. One Brandon just gave us. Tomlin is 3-0 head to head versus Mike Vrabel. Tomlin is also 3-10 in his career versus the Patriots. Now a lot of that was Brady and Belichick.
So I like stats.
Different personnel. Yeah,
and I don't want Brandon to give away all the keys to the game.
Oh no!
I don't want to step all over the keys there, okay. Brandon. I would say neither matter.
Neither one.
I don't think so.
I mean, if I had to pick one that matters more out of those two figures, it would
be the head-to-head coach matchup.
Yes.
Yeah, because Tomlin couldn't beat Belichick, like, okay.
Or Brady,
right, specifically, like those two, then okay, fine. The head-to-head thing, maybe. But again, like, what are we talking about? Like, what years are we going to? Like, was that a Roethlisberger? Who was even the quarterback for Pittsburgh? It was an entirely different team and franchise for Vrabel. And it's like a smaller sample size, too. It's not like if Tomlin was like 10-0 against them, he'd be like, all right, well, there's something there. 0-3, I don't think it's as big of a deal, but maybe a slight check mark. Like if somebody were to make the advantage the case for Tomlin over Vrabel,
we asked
that question
say,
before, that'd be something you could throw on the pile.
That might be a reason to rethink our stance on Vrabel over Tomlin.
Yeah.
That might be fair. But how relevant are any of those stats this weekend? We can debate. 617-779-7937. I do expect a lot of points this weekend. So he seemed down on the scoring, seemed to think it would be defensive. I don't know that either of these teams, and especially because you're not sure Gonzalez is going to play, I don't know that either of these teams can really stop each other.
No, I know. I also only see 0-2, by the way, head to head.
Oh,
maybe I'm looking at it wrong.
I was looking at a story on Pro Football Talk. I didn't actually check.
I
the
see 0-2, but whatever. I mean, either way, he hasn't beaten them yet.
Are you missing a playoff game in there? Is it possible you're looking at regular season?
I was looking at this in the playoffs. Vrabel made the playoffs three times. His losses are to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Ravens, pretty good team. And the other playoff loss was to the Bengals.
Okay,
so he never lost to the Steelers. So anyway, I don't know where Brandon got his number from. I don't know, it's semantics anyway. 0-2, 0-3, doesn't matter.
Either
hasn't,
way.
Hasn't beaten him. Hasn't beaten him head-to-head. So I guess, you know, points for Mike Tomlin.
One more time, why do you think Gonzalez won't play? He's been practicing all week.
Yeah,
limited capacity.
So
he's been practicing.
Seven weeks without practicing at all. Didn't even put on the uniform at all. That's a long time to be out from a hamstring injury. I wonder if even just three limited practices is going to be enough that you're going to say, hey, get out there and do it. And it'd be like full speed, full go on Sunday. I wonder if this is one where you're just like, you need a little bit more time. Like, get your feet underneath you this week. That's great. And then next week, you sort of start that practice on Wednesday with the full intention of playing on the following Sunday. I'm sure if we go back through the history of it, there are examples of both. I'm sure there are times where guys have been out for a long time. First week they hit the practice field, boom, they're out there playing. And I'm sure there's also examples of guys that say, all right, I need a little bit more time than that. Especially if you think that there may have been a setback along the way too.
Not that he's told us that.
He won't. He's pretty tight-lipped on the setback thing. But if you were to read into that, then maybe there was a setback. Maybe there's even more reason to sort of be cautious with it.
So to me, I think the way it's trending, it looks to me like he's going to play, but I could be wrong about that. I've been wrong about this a lot of different ways. But he better play against Carolina. I don't think he has to play this weekend. If he's back in practices for two full weeks, he should be back for week four. 8 weeks removed from his hamstring injury on one of the first days of training camp. He better play next week. I don't think he has to play this week, but I do think reading the tea leaves and him being out there and with the starters yesterday, I'd expect him to play. But we should get our answer to that later on this afternoon. 617-779-7937. Keith was giving you one of the best bets of the weekend. Speaking of which, in the grab bag today, we will give you the Bozo touchdown parlay.
Yes.
Which is trending in the right direction week one to week two.
We're getting real close.
We're trending positively.
Yep. Yeah.
Hard to do worse than we did week one. Somewhat representative last week, I guess. And we'll also give you our survivor picks in the grab bag later on. But stay tuned. On the way next, Top 5 Friday, we'll give you our top five comedy sequels.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Jones and Keefe here on a Patriots Friday. Mike and Wenu will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get you the keys. Pats and Steelers at 1 o'clock.
I gotta go get them.
Week in review at 12:45. Friday four pack 11:30. Busy as always. It's also time for a top five Friday. Every Friday at 10:45 here on Jones and Keefe. You went to see Spinal Tap 2.
Yes, I did.
One of the very few. It's like the Clubhouse.
Right, I feel like, yeah, exactly.
The Clubhouse on Netflix, we watched that. You and Davey watched Spinal Tap 2. Mm-hmm. You're pretty much the only two people, but it got us thinking That's about comedy sequels.
Yep, that is. And so it's a tough cookie to crack, especially when you do it decades after the fact. But for this top five, it can be anything. It can be a comedy movie that came out a year later, or it can be one that came out 41 years later in the case of Spinal Tap 2. So these ones are good, but I do think it kind of falls off. Like, I think a top 10 would have been tough.
I agree.
You know, so we'll see how much overlap. I've not seen your list. You've not seen mine.
No.
All right, do you want to go first? Do you want to ping pong 5-4, or are you going to do all five of yours?
Let me take it. I feel you're the expert, so let me get mine out of the way first. Okay. I think this qualifies. I don't know if this is going to get pushback. But I like Home Alone 2 at number 5.
Number 5.
Thank you. I didn't mean to do that out of order. I like Home Alone 2. Very rewatchable. Watch it every single year.
Yep.
It's actually better in some ways than the first one.
No, it's not.
No, it's true. In some ways, it's a little
you
better.
You like the crow lady more than the guy with the shovel?
I do like her
pigeon
better.
Lady.
I like the pigeon lady better.
Yeah. President Trump in that, famously.
In some ways. That's one of my favorite parts of that film.
Yep.
So there you go. You know, I don't want to get canceled. One of my favorite parts of that
film.
Okay,
very good.
Number
4. I also have Wayne's World 2 on the list.
Oh, good one.
I enjoy Wayne's World 2. That's when they do Wayne stock. You get some good acts in there, some good flashbacks.
Chris Farley in that one, right?
He is in that one, correct. Yeah, yeah. He's one of the, roadies or stage managers or whatever. Yes. So
that's a good
there.
One.
Let's move on to
coming in at number 3rd.
Thank you, Courtney. I have 22 Jump Street.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
I waffled a little bit on where to put this one. I actually initially had it higher. I revised it down a few spots. 21 Jump Street, great. 22 Jump Street, pretty good. So I have that checking in at 3.
Number 2.
Ace Ventura When Nature Calls?
Yeah.
That's on your list?
Maybe.
I had a feeling it would be on your list.
Yeah.
This is another one. Young Adam Jones really enjoyed this. I'd say the older I get, I'm back to Ace Ventura's better than Ace Ventura 2. Very quotable film.
Very quotable.
Very quotable, yeah, yeah, yeah. And really came in strong after the first Ace Ventura. Mm-hmm. So when nature calls, it's second.
Number one.
Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. This is Fat Bastard? Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
This is the Heather Graham.
Heather Graham,
I know, by the
star. Felicity Shagwell.
That's right.
She's in there.
Yeah.
So I had Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me at number one as a comedy sequel.
It's a good list. So you're doubling up on the Mike Myers.
Home Alone.
Wayne's World. Oh, good point. And, yes. Austin Powers.
We got Trump and Macaulay Culkin in there.
Sure do.
We got 22 Jump Street, and we have Jim Carrey. Yes.
I like a comedy Jonah Hill more than I like a dramatic Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think he is enjoying this dramatic work. I think he was happy to be in the film with Leonardo DiCaprio. He likes to be a film guy.
He's good at Moneyball.
He likes it, that's for
sure.
He
was good at Moneyball.
Yeah. So again, 5-1, like Home Alone 2, Wayne's World 2, 22 Jump Street, Ace Ventura When Nature Calls, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged
Me. All very good. Keith? All very good ones. Nick.
Number
5.
American Pie 2. I'm going American Pie 2. You made a face. There's like more Stifler in this one. It's their first year after college.
Yeah,
so they all
reunite.
They get
like the lake house?
Yeah, they all get back together again. They got to do some jobs. There's more Stifler.
This is
good. Well, yeah, Billy's nodding.
This is a cat take. Cat likes American Pie 2 very much. That's not my favorite American Pie, I got to be honest.
Well, it's not my favorite American Pie, but it's one of the five best sequels.
I would hope the first one's your favorite one.
The first one, in all of these cases, is better.
An American Wedding is garbage.
I might take American
Wedding's tough.
I might take American Wedding over that one.
No, okay. Yeah. American Reunion's really good.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Reunion's really good, yeah.
Then there's all the band camp ones with, like, Eugene Levy.
I've not seen those either.
There's, like, 10, like, DVD ones.
Eugene Levy and Stifler's little brother.
Yeah. If you want a lot of Stifler, that's American Wedding. But okay, keep going. Yeah.
American Pie 2 is good. Yeah. Number 4.
Number
4.
Yep, okay, you can do it, too. Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. So I agree, we have an overlap there.
Coming in at number 3rd.
Also an overlap. I'm going Ace Ventura When Nature Calls. Okay. I think this was one early on that you would look to and say, all right, how do you do it where you give the fans something that they want, like callbacks to the old one, but don't like dwell on it. It needs to be its own thing. Uh-huh. So that's why you send him to Africa and you have him chasing around animals the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's great. It's tremendous.
You got the slinky going down the stairs.
Awesome. The whole plane ride scene is good. He's with monks.
Crawling out of the rhino.
Yep. You got the two tribes. You got Tommy Davidson there.
Bumblebee tuna.
Yes.
Yeah, you got the whole
Bumblebee
thing.
Bumblebee tuna, 100%.
Yes, 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 yes.
Very good.
Number
2.
Next Friday.
Oh, that's a good one.
Next Friday.
This did not occur to me. That's a good one, actually.
So
yeah.
Friday's a better movie, but Next Friday is much funnier. Because Mike Epps as Day-Day, who'd have thought you could replace Chris Tucker, as good as Chris Tucker was in the 90s, and let's be honest, probably still remains to this day, but Day-Day, who is Ice Cube's cousin, they go out to the suburbs there. Hilarious. Also a very quotable movie.
Number
1.
I'm going Jackass number 2.
Oh,
not so a typical comedy necessarily.
I also didn't know if this qualified.
It does.
Okay.
I mean, Johnny Knoxville is like a comedic actor, so I think if you look it up, it's like a...
Jackass number 2 is great.
It's like a documentary / comedy or comedy documentary. I mean, the Jackass show, I think it would fall under the umbrella of a comedy. Those guys are very charismatic, very, very funny. And this one had the memorable scene where they got the dude from Super Troopers to drive the cab.
Sure.
There was that one at the end of this movie. But a lot of good stuff. All the Jackasses are great. Even the most recent one,
I do.
Which I was shocked how good it was. They didn't have Bam in it, which was unfortunate. But even that one was funny.
I'll tell you, I have trouble similar to the Austin Powers movies. A lot of it does all kind of run together.
Yeah.
But so I'm trying to remember specifically that one. But no, all the Jackass movies.
They threw Bam Margera into that trailer with the giant snake. He also has a fear of snakes like I do.
Nice.
I don't know how he even survived that, but that's in the second one.
They do a lot of stuff with snakes on those.
they do.
Biting various body parts and things like that.
Yeah, they did that. Yeah, in fact, I think Chris Pontius may have dressed up his member, and there's a snake involved in that one as well.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely that one.
That was definitely Jackass number 2.
That's amazing that you can do this, because they just kind of all blend together.
But that is one thing that stands out. I do recall that.
Dress it up
Jackass
as a mouse,
number
right?
two.
Huh?
Yeah.
Dress up as a mouse? Yep.
Was the first or the second one?
Right. Mine is commonly dressed up that way. Yeah.
Was the first or the second one where Ryan Dunn had to go to get the x-ray at the end?
I believe that's the first one.
The
car? I think that's right.
Well, so that,
there's a car toy up there.
That's a great
how
pick.
Did the car toy get up there?
I don't know. He's like, you can't tell anybody. The doctor's like, you can't tell me. This guy here, he knows that's too many people.
That's already too many people.
Yeah, it's already too many people.
So 5-1, American Pie 2, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, Ace Ventura When Nature Calls, Next Friday, and Jackass number 2. That's a strong top of the list there, Keith.
Yep, thank
one
you.
Was an oversight, and one I didn't include whatchamacallit, like executive decision, which I think I made the wrong executive decision there.
I agree.
But Jackass number two, great.
Right.
We'll tweet these out at Jones and Keefe. You can check those out there. Meanwhile, while you're there, you can also check out our Hoss of the Week, a.k.a. Hossdale of the Week.
Hossdale!
Friend of the show, Hogdale, is the Hoss of the Week this week on Jones and Keefe. Seek it out at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We'll get you the Friday 4-pack coming up at 11:30. On the way next, let's get to the Red Sox. Are they really going to choke this away? I've been saying,
no.
I wouldn't bet on it. I don't think they're going to. Yeah, I'm nervous about them, but I don't think they're actually going to choke it away. They might actually choke this away. Let's get to the Red Sox next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.